When it comes to showing appreciation, the gift you choose says everything. Minky Couture luxury blankets make the perfect statement. Soft, stylish, and unforgettable. Whether you're thanking a client, rewarding an employee, or celebrating a milestone, nothing delivers warmth and gratitude like a Minky blanket. With custom options and elegant packaging, your gift will stand out and be remembered long after the moment has passed. Make your corporate gifting extraordinary with Minky Couture, luxury you can feel. Visit minkycouture.com to get started.
Free audio post-production by alphonic.com.
I went out for milk and I never came back. I feel horrible, okay? You lot are my kids, all right? So, I have some... Daddy's got some explaining to do. Dad's got some explaining to do, all right? But first of all, Dad wants to thank you for being here, for even being open to listening to his excuses and his truths about what he's been going through, okay? Dad also wants to let you know that Dad's birthday is on November 2nd. So if you could listen through the ads and don't skip them, okay? Because we're poor right now. We're in school and I'm going to explain a lot of stuff. But if you could support me in that way, I would truly appreciate you. Dad would truly appreciate you forever. Also, if you could look past the fact that Dad sounds so fucking congested, okay? This congestion, it's not going away for a long time, all right? So I need you to just look past that for the moment. Do you think you can do that for your wee dad who's left to go get milk and he didn't come back for a whole fucking year? Can you do that for your dad? All right, do that for your dad. Thank you. Your dad is thanking you right now. All right, y'all. In all seriousness, I'm going to start off by explaining why the fuck I sound like this, okay? I sound like this because I have mono. Yeah. Yes. This baddie has mono. What the fuck? Mono, number one, is a virus, the Epstein-Barr virus. It's something that people get when they're teenagers because they're all making out. They're making out. They're sharing cups. They're whatever. I did get mono because I was making out. And I didn't think that that could happen. So just imagine, I thought my biggest fear were STDs. No, there's lower tiered it's not an STI. It's just a virus kind. There's lower tier things that can ruin your fucking week just as much. I have been to the ER once and to the urgent care four times over this mono because my tonsils were so enlarged, so inflamed, mama could barely breathe. Also, I had like shortness of breath, some chest pains, like from being so fucking sore. Because one thing about this virus is, mama, it makes you exhausted. It makes you exhausted. Like, I used to, where I parked my car, I have to walk to and fro. You know, it's not a long walk at all. It's like a 7-minute walk. It's not a long walk at all. I, you know, get that done in a jiffy, get on the bus, I'm fine. Go to the class, I'm fine. Lord, why am I, like, taking two steps and I'm short of breath? My fucking chest hurts. It feels like it's about to collapse on itself. Like, it is like, it feels like that I don't know if you've ever had bronchitis. Like, bronchitis is so, like, it hurts every time you breathe. Anytime you inspire, bronchitis, like, just, it just hurts really bad. Like, in the core of your chest, like, you can feel it on where your ribs are attached to your sternum. Okay? That's what this feels like. And it's just really fucking unpleasant. So I've had that for a month now, and my doctor was telling me that I'm probably going to have it for 2 to 4 more weeks. So great. I'm currently testing negative for the virus, but it attacks your lymph system and it fucks with your immune system. So my immune system has been shot, and like anything there is, I get it. Like, I keep getting stuff. I just keep getting new stuff, and it's not stuff I want. Like, I know my birthday is coming up, but this is not the kind of present I was talking about. Like, enough. So that's why I sound like this. My tonsils are very swollen. My hard palate is swollen. I forget what it's called, but there's that space that connects. I think it is your hard palate, but it's the space that connects your nose, the back of your nose to the roof of your mouth. That is swollen like a mother. it is so swollen and I can, like, it's just very unpleasant. So I wanted to wait until all that had gone away to do the podcast, but I'd already recorded an episode before and it had, like, visuals. But I'm sorry, y'all. I think that's one of the reasons why I haven't done the podcast in such a long time. I don't like the way I look. Like, if we can be really, can we be really vulnerable right now? I need to say something really vulnerable. I'm reaching out. I'm holding your hands. You can't see me, but I'm reaching out. I'm holding your hands. I don't like the way I look right now. I don't like the way I look right now. Sometimes I like the way I look, but I don't like the way I look right now. My double chin is double chinning. Okay. My double chin is here. She's here. And I'm like, okay, normally, no, I can get over that. But it's like also like I'm breaking out all the time. My skin is like, I look drained. Like this diva looks tired. Like this diva is tired, but she looks tired. And there's nothing worse than looking as tired as you feel. Okay. And this diva looks more tired than she feels a lot of the time. So it's like, I don't know. Every time I sit in front of the camera, like I just feel funny. Like, I don't know. I don't like it. So this, for the foreseeable future, until I start re-liking how I look again, this is going to be, you know, audio only. But I think that also gives me a lot of freedom because I'm not so concentrated about how I look or whatever. So, sorry. I'm also, like, the mono, it makes you really tired. So that was a lot of, you know, a lot of action for me just now. All this excitement is getting to me. So anyways, so I'll just start from the beginning and we can go backwards. Or should we go backwards to the beginning? Which one should we do? Let's go backwards to the beginning. So let me tell you how I got mono. All right. That's really pertinent. So I got mono because I was dating this guy and we were dating for, you know, a little while, like maybe 2 months. And I really liked him. He was much younger than me, which I had my thoughts about. I'd never dated somebody quite as young as that. And like, okay, so I'm 29. Where's my phone? I'm 29 and he's 24. And I know, like, to some people, that's not really a big deal. But to me, it is a big deal because I can very clearly remember where I was when I was 24. And 24-year-old Divine and 29-year-old Divine are not the same. And I'm about to turn 30. So I had a lot of, you know, reservations regarding the age difference. But he was like, well, I really like you and I don't want you to not talk to me just because, you know, I'm younger than you. And I'm like, okay, no, like, that's not how that works. But I'm like, there will be things that will come up and it will literally be because of age. And I then in that place have to make the decision if it's worth continuing because there is a big gap between being 24 and being 29. Like, holy shit, there's a big gap between being 24 and 29. But then also, where he is at 24, sweetie, I was nowhere near where when I was 24, I was not doing none of that. So he's like, you know, he's established like in his work. He has 3 fucking degrees already, all which count for something, which must be nice because I have 1 and it counts for nothing. So, you know, like he's, you know, like he's you know, yeah. But a big thing was he was very dorky. He was very dorky, very nerdy. But it's like sometimes you like a nerdy guy because like they're going to treat you right. You know what I'm saying? But he was also super inexperienced because of his age. Super inexperienced. And I mean that in all facets, like sexually to like if you have like to relationships, to just life and to just like existing. Like, I don't know. Like, does that make sense? Like, sometimes you meet people and it's, like, clear that, not saying that this applies to him, but this is actually something I've been thinking about recently because, I'm going to get off topic, but I'm trying not to, but I want to get off topic, but I'm trying not to. Because I was listening, like, I've been on TikTok recently a lot, and there's this whole conversation about, like, you know, people cheating and all this stuff. And a lot of these takes, to me, are so reminiscent of, like, Wattpad, like fan fiction, like it's straight up like fan fiction. Like it's just people imagining themselves in scenarios and trying to imagine what they do because they've never been in that scenario. And I'm like, yeah, a lot of, you know, like younger people. And I think especially since COVID took a big chunk out of everybody's life. And I think we're starting to see how it really affected us, but a lot of people like don't realize how big of an impact COVID had on their life. That was 3 years of your life that you lost, like straight up. Like those are 3 years of experiences you didn't have, 3 years of people you didn't get to meet, 3 years of places you didn't get to go, 3 years of your life being held up because there was a big fat fucking orange in office who didn't know what to do with it. So it's like, you know, and also you don't want to get the virus, you don't want to go out, whatever, okay? So I don't think people realize how much of an impact COVID had on them. So this was definitely something that I noticed. And like, I think the time, does it line up? I think it lines up that he was in high school when COVID came out, when COVID made her debut. So he was definitely like a high school COVID kid, which there was an age difference. So that 6 year age difference, I was already out of high school when COVID happened. But one of the big things is like, you just don't know what you don't know. You just don't know what you don't know. Like you can think you're going to react to a whole lot of stuff. And the things that you think are so important, they're really not. Like one of the major issues that this kid and I had were he felt like we didn't have enough things in common, which was so crazy to me because we had so much in common. But to him, in common is the things that really matter to him at this point in his life, which are like hobbies and crafts, like dead ass crafts. Like crafts, like he really had a big issue that he and I did not share similar crafts. And I'm like, okay, this, I feel like I'm talking to like a child. Like it got to that point. And I'm like, I like beading necklaces. Like I like redoing furniture. Like, am I going to get angry at like my partner because they don't like making friendship bracelets and redoing furniture? Like that's weird. Like, but that's not, I don't know. Sometimes like I find myself in these situations where I can't necessarily explain, like, how I feel. And so I just say, that's weird. And then they're looking at me like, what do you mean? That's not nice. Why would you say that's weird? And I'm like, because it is. It's weird.
When it comes to showing appreciation, the gift you choose says everything. Minky Couture luxury blankets make the perfect statement. Soft, stylish, and unforgettable. Whether you're thanking a client, rewarding an employee, or celebrating a milestone, nothing delivers warmth and gratitude like a Minky blanket. With custom options and elegant packaging, your gift will stand out and be remembered long after the moment has passed. Make your corporate gifting extraordinary with Minky Couture, luxury you can feel. Visit minkycouture.com to get started.
So anyways, so he and I, like we had those differences. And then the major difference for me, the major problem for me, though, was like he did not have a high libido at all. The libido was not that high. Like when it was, like when it was, and it was great and it was awesome. But it just was not as constant as I needed it to be. And if I'm going to be honest with you, I'm 29. When you start hitting your 30s, I don't know what the fuck happens to your body. But that ovulation is crazy. That ovulation is crazy. Like, and I don't even think like it's ovulation because ovulation implies that it happens within a set point in time. No, girl, this shit was happening all the time. I felt like I needed to go to jail. I felt like I needed to be locked up in a cage. Okay, I felt like a rabid animal. Okay. So, which I was like, when we first started dating, I was like, oh, yes, like he's 24. Like, this is, your libido is so high. Like, this is going to be great. No, like he's a decent man. So he, like, sex was not the first thing on his mind. Like, he really wanted to, like build a future and all this stuff. And that's nice. But I realized that that's not the place that I'm at right now. I don't want a relationship. Like, and I realized that, like, dating him and, like, talking about what we wanted out of each other and, like, what we wanted out of a relationship. And I realized, like, I don't want a relationship right now. Like, I am going through too much all the time, all at once, to want a relationship. And like, and it's not even for, because for a while, I would say that I would think like, okay, maybe I don't want a relationship because you have to really put a lot of emphasis on what the other person wants and their needs. And you can't really be all that selfish. And I want to be super selfish. Hold on. I'm like, where is this? Right. And I want to be super selfish. I would think, like, I'm not ready to stop being selfish. But it's like, no, actually, I don't think that's a problem. I'm actually pretty considerate on the daily. Like, I am really considerate on the daily. I don't really think there's much that I do that's super selfish, like, unless I'm alone, to which, be selfish by all means. But, like, even I realized, like, even in a relationship like that, compromise was not really my problem. It's just, I don't have the time for it. Like, there were so many conversations that we had that I just was like, oh my God, I could be studying right now. I could be doing something else. Like, let me tell you how it ended. All right, let me tell you how it ended. So he came over, and mind you, he's very inexperienced. So, and by inexperienced, I mean like sexually as well. So we're taking it slow, and I was okay with that. So he came over and he was supposed to sleep over, and I kind of had a panic attack that morning because I was like, do I really want a man in my space right now? Like, I know him and I like him and I know he's a good man, Savannah. That is a good man, Savannah. And let me preface this by saying that he is going to be an amazing husband to somebody someday. Like, dead ass. Once he, like, once that those years catch up, once he gets to his 30s, that is an amazing husband. Like, OD. But it's like, I'm already 30 and I just don't have the patience to, like, you know, walk him through so many of the things that he wanted me to walk him through. And, like, and I mean, like, you know, stuff that, like, you just have to go through it to get it. You know what I'm saying? And I just didn't have that patience. Sorry, my mucus is draining. So, but otherwise, he's going to be an amazing husband to somebody for so many different reasons, girl. Okay? Take that as you will. So anyways, so he was going to sleep over. And I started having a panic attack because I was like, do I want a man in my space right now? Like, currently, I live alone. And I mean alone, alone. Like, my dog's not here. My cat passed away, which we'll get into, I know. My little moon passed away. My dog is living with my mom because she's sick. And she needs medication morning, day, and night. And so my mom has to give that to her. And I'm really thankful for my mom for that. But I live alone. Like, I'm bare bones alone. Like, I could walk through this apartment naked, okay? And not be scared about running into even a ghost, okay? So I live alone. I have decorated this place. I have decorated the fuck out of my home. I have made my house a home, okay? Like, to the T. So I know how I feel. Like, every time I have a guy over, I'm so ready for him to leave, girl. Every time I have a guy over and, like, they'll, like, appreciate my space and stuff. And then, like, they'll be like, why? Like, they won't ask right away, but they'll kind of be like, why are you quarantining me to the living room, like the den? They're like, let's go to your bedroom. And I'm like, no. And they're like, why? I'm like, I don't like anyone in my bedroom. And they're like, okay, but, like, it's a little uncomfortable. No. Not going in my bedroom. Like, that's a really hard boundary that I have set on. And he was the first person that I allowed into my bedroom. Because this is how I feel about it, okay? When there's, like, I don't know, men carry so much baggage. I'm serious. Men carry so much baggage. And I think they don't even realize it. Like, they carry a very heavy load because, you know, the patriarchy has taught them not to talk about their feelings. So, like, everything that men say, a lot of the times, it has double, triple meaning. And a lot of the times, they don't even realize the meaning of what they're saying. And I'm just like, you need to unpack that. Not in my house, though, because that energy is going to linger. Sorry, girl. Because that energy is going to linger. And, like, you know, like, when I have guys over, like, there was one guy that I was seeing for a while, like, he came over a few times, and I would always fucking keep him quarantined to the living room, okay? Because we would have conversations, and, like, it'd be going fine, and every once in a while, something would slip out. And it wasn't even a slip out, because, like, he thought, like, he would just be talking. But it would just make me realize, like, oh my God, like, you have so much to deal with, and, like, I don't really want to be a part of that, like, at all. And I don't want my space to be a part of that, because I feel like that heaviness is going to remain with me. And I've just been really protective of my energy. So anyways, little boy, well, let's not call him a little boy. This man was supposed to sleep over. And I really had, like, a full-blown panic about it because I'm like, do I want like a man in my space for that amount of time. Like, I can't just kick him out. Like, I can't just be like, you need to go in the middle of the night. Like, what? So I thought about it and then I unpacked it a little bit and I was like, all right, I think it'll be fine. It'll be fine. So he comes over, we're watching a movie, we have dinner, he makes me dinner, and we're watching a movie and everything is like going fine. And then, you know, we start getting a little frisky, okay, because why not? We start getting a little frisky and I give him a blowjob. Mm-hmm, we're talking about it. I give him a blowjob and honestly, it was some of my best work. It really was some of my best work because I liked him, because I really liked him. And when I like somebody, I don't even want to say I turn into a porn star because I don't. I turn into like, I don't know, like I turn into a lover. Like I'm like, I want you to feel so good right now. Like this is all about, yeah, like that's me, okay, when I really like somebody. Otherwise, I don't give a fuck what you got going on. So, I give him a blowjob. It's my best work, and I'm proud of it, too. And he immediately spirals. And I think a lot of it came from him thinking that, like, a blowjob is a derogatory act. Like, he could not fathom that I enjoyed it, that I enjoyed doing it, and that I would happily do it again. He couldn't make the connection. Like to him, like that sex act is so derogatory. And like it was weird because like I didn't feel like he looked down on me for doing it. It's just like I think he couldn't really understand that I could enjoy doing it as much as he enjoyed receiving it. And he was like, did you feel like you had to do that? Like I don't want you to feel like you have to do that. And blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh, no. Ugh. Exhausting. So this turns into like a whole bigger conversation of like our like sexual alignment. And it's very clear from the start of that conversation that we are not really sexually aligned because I need to be put behind bars. Like I need to be tranquilized to like stop being so horny. And he's just fine with not having sex, never having sex, never having had sex. He's not that curious about it. Like he is curious, but like he's not seeking it. Like he's not looking out for it, which is why I say like he will definitely be a good husband to somebody that has a much lower libido. Not me though. That rhymed. I didn't mean for it to rhyme. But yeah, so that ended because of that. And it was so, and he's so sweet, but, and he was like, what should we do? And I was like, I think we should break up. And he was like, no, I don't want to break up. This sweet boy started crying. He started straight up crying. And to which I was like, oh no, now we definitely got to break up because like, what is going on? Like, what is going on? So we broke up. And then like 2 days later, he asked me if I wanted to get back together. And I was like, no. Because I'm like, I don't think we're compatible. And you don't even think we're compatible. So why are we going to try to do this? Like, it's just a waste of everybody's time. And he was like, well, what if we just did like a short-term thing? And then he described what his definition of a short-term thing was. And his definition of a short-term thing was definitely a definition of a long-term relationship. And I'm like, please stop. Like, this is not going to, you know, this is not going to work. So that happened. And then obviously I was upset about that. Right. And so for me, a lot of the times, the best way to get over something is to get under somebody else, you know? So I go on a date with this man that I met like a year ago. He's like in his 50s. He's like, you know, he's in finance. He's really important at his job, whatever. Stuff that's very sexy to me. Okay. Very sexy to me. And I go on this date and the date is fine, but it really is just like, I kind of start asking myself, like, is this what having a father feels like? And I start like kind of going through all these motions in my head. And then, I don't know, the date just didn't go well. It was clear to me, or I feel that he's lying about some things. And I don't know, like I went because I was curious and I was, you know, I let my curiosity get the best of me, but I just did not trust him. I did not trust him as far as I could throw him. And there's a big part of me that is like, I think this man is married. Like, I really do. And so I just, I don't know, not interested. Really bothered me, really still bothers me. I think about it all the time because I'm just like, I talk about this on my TikTok. Like, I made a TikTok about it where I talk about, like, I felt like I kind of was auditioning to be a mistress. And I was like, no, like, that's not going to work. Like, that's not going to work for me. Like, I'm not really interested in that. Okay. Speaking of mistresses, if you have been on TikTok, you know that Lily Allen has a new album out, which is so good. Like, I have never listened to an album so messy about a relationship and, like, cheating and infidelity and feeling like I'm in the middle of their bed. Like, I literally feel like I'm in the middle of their bed. Like, I'm in their home. Like, a fly on the wall does not have as much access as this album gave me, okay? She's reading text messages. She's reading letters. She's taking us to his other apartment. Like, a fly on the wall can only see what's going on inside one house, you know? But she took us to different places, different, you know, spaces, like, just a whole lot of stuff. It's a great album. I really like it. And I've been blasting it since it came out. This leads us to another conversation here, because I've been thinking a lot about why I fucking hate the internet so much. And I think a lot of it is because, like, children are running the internet. Children and AI are essentially running the internet. They get on the internet and they spew their rhetoric and their beliefs and whatever. And in a normal world, it should be fine. But I think, like, you can be way too vitriolic. Like, I get online and I'm seeing this conversation happening about dating, or cheating, sorry. So let's go back now. We're rewinding a little bit. I promise I'm going to update you on, like, what's been actually going on in my life at some point in this, but I want to talk about this. So this conversation about cheating is going on. And they're like, if my friend is cheating, would I tell the boyfriend? And it's a lot of women having this conversation. And I see so many women who are like, I would, because it's the right thing to do. It's this and that and that. And I'm like, that's nice. That's nice. That's really nice. But I do just want you to, and I'm not saying fire, 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 but just think, would that man, friend, you could literally be in a group of friends, okay? In a group of friends. And your boyfriend is in that friend group, and your best friend is a guy, and he knows that your boyfriend is cheating on you. Do you think he is going to tell you that your boyfriend is cheating on you? We're going to hope that he does. And if he does, he's probably, you know what they say, a great man is an average woman. You're going to do that, you know? But I just, like, feel like when I watch these conversations, a lot of it, I'm like, you guys are fan fictioning right now. You guys are writing erotic friend fiction. Literally. Writing erotic friend fiction like Tina fucking Belcher. Just imagining stuff that you've never been in that has never happened. I have been in that situation. I have been cheated on. I have been the friend of a friend who was cheating, who was getting cheated on. And this is my thing. It's like, these things, like, it's not marriage. It's not an affair. It's different, number one. It's different for a whole other host of reasons. But it's like, you know, you move on from these things, right? Like, this isn't life crippling. Like, a lot of these things you move on from. And not to say, like, oh, you know, do horrible things because they'll get over it. They'll get over it. No. But it's like, if you're the victim in that situation, you will move on. Like, you don't get to give that person the power like that. Like, you don't get to do that. You have to move on. You get to move on. You have a choice to move on. You will move on. So a lot of the times, like, I think people are always stuck on, like, the initial pain of it all. And it's like, yeah, but that pain subsides. And also, a lot of the time, like, People know. They, blindsiding to me personally is not real. Like, unless that person is a Oscar-winning actor that has scripted out his entire or her entire life, there will be signs. But we are human, and we're going to miss those signs. We're going to misunderstand. Somebody can say one thing, and they mean something else. And it's not your fault that you don't understand that they have a whole double entendre to what they're saying. That's not your fault because you're only human. But you have so many different realities. Like, as long as there is more than one person in a situation, you are living in two different realities, no matter how on the same page you are, because you are not the same person. You're not in their body. They're not in your body. They don't know what you need unless you communicate it. You don't know what they need unless they communicate it. You could communicate it and they still misunderstand it because somebody sometime long ago had said something similar and meant it in a way. And so they take it in that way. Like, there's so much nuance to all of these things. Like, one of my big unpopular opinions is that you shouldn't get fired for having an affair. Unless that person is working at your job, then you guys are definitely fucking in the office closet. But you shouldn't be fired for having an affair because you didn't sign a morality clause, unless you did sign a morality clause. To me, that's such a slippery slope of church and state getting in your panties and getting in your bed. Like, there are some things that I think, like, just should be personal. Like, let your personal life fall apart and wreak havoc on your personal life because you're a cheater. But I don't think, like, certain things, like, should mix into, like, your life, like, your work life or your professional life. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, those are just some things. And, like, people will say, like, oh, well, if I can't trust you to be a loyal man, then how can I trust you with my money? And it's like, you can't trust me personally right now to get up at 8 o'clock without an alarm. You can't trust me to do that. Does that mean you can't trust me to get my work done? No. Like, these things are not mutually exclusive. And I feel like sometimes, like, I listen to people talk and they're just presenting all of these straw man arguments and, like, these fallacies and, like, these things that honestly just don't make much sense. And I'm like, it's because you haven't lived, like, you haven't existed. Like, as somebody who has been cheated on, you will get over it. You will literally forget that it even happened at some point. An affair is different. You have to go through a divorce. If you have kids, that's unfortunate. There's a lot of stuff, and, like, you made vows. It's very, you know, there's a lot that goes into that. But it's like, you don't know what you don't know. And I hate when people just get on the internet and they just spew a PowerPoint of beliefs that align with the Ten Commandments or whatever commandment they're going by that day. And they're just like, you're wrong for not adhering to that. And it's like, enough. I've literally just had enough. Like, I hate being on the internet. Like, so many of the times I get on the internet, I'm like, I feel like I'm surrounded by stupid people. And I'm like, I know I'm not the smartest person in the room, but come on. The bar is in fucking hell at this point. So anyways, so that, I did want to get that off my chest. So now, what has been going on in other things of my life? We're getting very cozy here, getting cozy wozy. So, I'm back in school. I'm back in school. I'm a graduate. I'm in a graduate program right now. Is it whooping my ass? No. But it just feels like I came into this program with my cup empty as fuck. My cup was empty. Okay. Preceding the program, I was working 40 hours a week plus another 30 hours driving Uber because I needed to lower my debt. I needed to pay for my prerequisite classes, which came up to about like $9,000. Okay. And on top of that, I had to pay, you know, for all my other bills, my car, my living, my food, all of that stuff. So I had to work a lot and I had to pay for a lot of stuff. And I paid off like $10,000 worth of debt from like November to May. Okay. So I was grinding. I was hustling. So I was, because I had this goal and I really wanted to get here. And I applied to one fucking school, one graduate program, and they accepted me. And I was so thrilled. And I'm like, I'm going to do this. I'm so excited. I'm going to do this. I am so psyched. But I have this laundry list of things that need to get done first. And so I was so motivated. I was so motivated. And honestly, I got burnt the fuck out because not only was I just working a lot, but the people that I was working with was horrendous. Like, I had a 9-to-5 and my boss was so abusive. Like, and it's so funny because, like, for a good portion of time, I wondered if I was making it up in my head. And then one of the very first, modules, like introductory modules, like that I had to do for like diversity, inclusion, and equity training for my school was talking about harassment in the workplace. And when I tell you bar for bar, multiple things that were outlined in that module were shit that my boss had done to me. Bar for bar. And I was like, okay, so it wasn't in my head. It literally was not in my head because this bitch said these exact things, did the exact things. Like, it's not in my head. And honestly, that helped me a lot because for a while, like, I really felt gaslit that, like, I was making this shit up and that I was, you know, I wasn't really, I was just being sensitive. And it's like, no, this is really a problem. Like, this bitch is really a problem. So I was working in those conditions from October of 2024 when I stopped doing the podcast to July. Yeah, to July 2025. I became so depressed so fast at that job, beyond depressed. Like, imagine being somewhere from 8 to 4 and people are policing your facial expressions. I'm dead serious. Mind you, I had my own private office. Do you know how many times my boss would come into my office and be like, you need to smile more? They're saying that they see you frowning, like in that you're making a face. What's that face? What's that face you're making? And I'm like, I'm concentrating. And they're like, well, can you change your face? What? Bro, like this, it was crazy. Like the amount of times that like I would reach out to IT because my computer is having a problem, really small problem. And me and IT were close because me and IT both hated working there, okay? So I would reach out to IT. They would come to me and like fix the problem. We'd chit-chat, whatever. IT would leave. My boss would immediately come in the room. What did I tell you about calling IT without telling me? You need to tell me these things first because you're wasting their time. Meanwhile, IT is like, oh no, this is our job. Like, please, like call us. We love coming on this side of the office. It's a nice little walk. And she's like, you need to put your request in through me. Mind you, her email is backed up like 6 days. She's not going to see that request. So I'm waiting on that request for her to put in a request. I'm requesting for her to request IT to come see me about my request. Girl, come on. Come on. I hated working there. And not only that, but like, as we know, I have chronic migraines. So every once in a while, I would have my light off, but I would have the lamp on the side. And the one thing that really scared her that I think she was even shocked she said, and which I was like, oh, I could sue you so bad right now, was she walked in the room one time and she turned my light on and I said, can you please turn that off? I have a really bad migraine. And she goes, you don't look like you have a migraine. You look fine. I looked at her like, oh, wow, we're going there. Interesting, interesting. So from there, I was like, wow, I'm glad that you think that you can see that I have a migraine. I'm glad that you think that you can see what's going on inside of my brain. And I'm glad that I look good on the outside, but I'm dying inside. I'm glad that that's happening. And she was like, oh, well, if you really have a migraine, you can just leave home for the day. Which is, once again, another issue that's called fucking retaliation. Okay? So she's like, you can go home. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to go home because I can work. I just need the light off. And she's like, no, you can go home. Actually, just go home now. And I'm like, what the fuck? This bitch comes in the room and starts picking up all of my shit, like cleaning my office. Like basically saying, you can go and you're never going to come back. And then she goes, leave your computer. And I'm like, no, I have work to do. I'll do it at home. She's like, no, leave your computer. And I'm like, okay. So I leave her while she's still picking up my fucking office. And I, funny enough, like I went over to her boss, not because I was about to tattle, because I knew that this bitch was going to try to fire me. I need to throw my hat in the ring for another position, hopefully under somebody else. And me and the boss had been talking about a different position like before. So I go over there and I'm like talking to him. I'm like, hey, I just wanted to, you know, just let you know still that I'm really interested in that position. And, you know, let me know what I need to do to like submit myself for it. And bro, my boss comes storming down the hall. Mind you, I'm in his office. The door is closed. She grabs the door to her boss's office, slams it open, looks at me and goes, why are you still here? me and the boss look at each other like, oh. And then she realized what the fuck just happened. And she's like, oh, because, you know, you said you weren't feeling good. So, you know, I hope you're feeling better, okay? Just, you know, so just go home and rest and blah, 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 blah. And then she leaves, but I know she's standing right behind the door. And her boss tells me, he goes, you know, why don't we pick this conversation up next week, when there are less, you know, nosing noses around. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. So I run to my office, I grab my computer because she's not there, and then I leave. And I'm like, bitch, you're not going to fucking fire me. So she calls my recruiter, and she's telling my recruiter that I'm so disrespectful, that I'm going behind her back, that I'm this, that I'm undermining her, that I'm this and that and whatever. And my recruiter is like, yeah, no, I don't understand what your problem is. She's allowed to talk to other people in the office. Like, what's the issue? And she's like, she's calling IT without telling me. She's talking to people. Yeah, my recruiter is like, no. This is not, mind you, we work in HR. Can I just let you know that? Because I would tell so many people about this and they'd be like, you need to go to HR. And I'm like, bitch, she is HR. She's fucking HR. Like, this is HR. This shit is happening in HR. Like, I just was so sick of it. I was over it. And I had to deal with that for actually more than 9 months, like October to July. I had to deal with that every day. My best days were the days when she was sick, when she was not there, when she had to be in the fucking hospital. Like, oh my God. Like, it just was terrible. It was a terrible, terrible position to be in. And then not only that, but it took me an hour. It was supposed to take me an hour to get there from my house to there. Guess what, girl? I was on that road for at least 2 hours every day because of fucking Atlanta traffic. People not knowing how to drive. And I mean 2 hours going. And like going and then another 2 hours coming back. So I was in that car for 3 to 4 hours a day. Just angry. Just sitting there. Just stewing. Like, and then I would drive Uber. Like, come on. Like, I was not okay. Okay? So I came into this program extremely empty. My cup was extremely empty. Sorry. Got too excited. My cup was extremely empty. Okay? And then you want to know what happens? My cat dies. Moon dies. He has kidney failure. His bladder gets blocked and then his kidneys fail. My cat dies. I pay $2,500 to get him better. He doesn't get better. My baby does not get better. Okay? He dies. That money came out of, like, money that I was supposed to keep to pay my rent, to, you know, I can't work, I'm in school. So that happens. 2 weeks ago, I take Precious in for her regular visit. Okay? Precious is my dog, if you don't know. I take Precious in for her regular visit. She's, you know, she's not eating a lot, which is, like, concerning, and I tell the doctor she also has diarrhea. So the doctor's like, okay, we're going to check all of this stuff out. And I'm like, okay, great, got it. My sweet child, my sweet daughter, my sweet angel baby has kidney failure. They tell me that I have 3 to 5 months with my child. Okay. Which is so depressing, number one, for obvious reasons. But also because I don't live with her. I don't see her every day. I can't see her every day. She hates my apartment. I don't know what is up with her in this apartment. She despises my apartment. She really doesn't like it. She likes being at home with her grandma and, you know, with like 4 acres to run on. She doesn't want to be in my little cooped up apartment with a patch of grass outside. Every time I bring her here, she's so sad. She starts whining the minute she walks inside. She's like, aww. And it literally does not stop until I take her back to grandma's and she walks out and she sees where she is. And then she starts galloping across the yard like she's a little stallion. Like, so I only have like a handful of time with my child at this point, which is really depressing because I just lost my cat and I'm already grieving my cat and I miss him so much. And then now, you know, my dog too. So my cup is fucking empty, right? It's actually... It's more than empty. It's broken at this point. And not only that, well, with that, my anxiety was getting worse. My depression was getting worse. I was just crying all the time. I was shaking all the time. I was having multiple panic attacks a day. And I mean, like, having to leave and go meditate because I felt like my chest was about to explode. When I went to the doctor for last time, I think I went to the doctor for my tonsils, sure, that was my chief complaint. But I think the bigger issue was that I was actively having a panic attack. And that's kind of why they kept me so long, because I walk in there complaining about my tonsils, but they take my heart rate, and my heart rate is like 160. And then my blood pressure is like 177 over 97. And he's like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "What do you mean?" And he's like, "You're not," he's like, "You don't feel, like, what do you feel right now?" I'm like, "I feel fucking upset. Like, what do you mean? What do I feel right now?" And he's like, "Hey, so we're going to, like, do an EKG, chest x-ray, all that shit." Like, they even tested me for that drug that your body releases when you have a heart attack. And he was like, "So you're not having a heart attack?" I was like, "Great, great, thank you. Give me something for my fucking tonsils." And he was like, "Well, I can't." He's like, "Because I can't, there's nothing I can give you that makes mono go away." So I was like, "All right, great, 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 great." Sorry, there's a lot of, like, yawning in this episode. I'm really sorry. I'm tired. Leave a girl alone, okay? So just going through the motions of all of that, and it's like, I've just slowly been starting to feel like my cup is being, like, replenished again. Like, and I mean drop by drop. Like, I mean, maybe there's 2 drops in the cup right now, but at least it's not empty, you know? But I will say, one of the things that I'm super happy about and that I'm super grateful for is that, you guys, I think I may have finally found my tribe. I know. I think I may have finally found my tribe. And I say this, like, I don't know if I've ever said that in the podcast before, but, like, I've had friends. Like, I have friends, you know? But I've never had, like, a group of friends, you know, that, like, you can call on whatever's happening. I've never, like, really had that. Like, I've had friends, like, individual friends that I could call on. Like, they didn't know each other. They didn't none of that. And, like, those are people that I love dearly and that I care about a lot and that I'm thankful for in my life. But I've never had, like, a whole group of friends. Like, a group of friends that, you know, like, a group of friends. LOL. Bleach in town. Like, a bleach in town. I hate that I... Whatever. Anyways, so I think I finally found that. And, like, and it was very clear the other day when I did have to go to the emergency room. And the next morning, I slept in because I was fucking exhausted. I slept all the way in. And my sister in Alabama, because normally when I have, like, I don't have class in the morning, like, I'll text her, like, bright and early, like, 6 a.m. Because I'm up by, like, 8. So most days, even when I don't have class, like, I just naturally wake up at, like, 7, 8. So I hadn't texted her, and she was, like, calling me, and I wasn't picking up because I was dead asleep. And she texted my 2 friends that are over here, and she was like, do you guys know where Divine is? Like, have you talked to her today? Blah, 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 blah. And one of them immediately was, like, getting ready to jump in her car and come over to where I was at. The other one was at clinical, and she was like, "I will leave this clinical right now if I need to." But they all have my location. So they were, like, updating my sister and stuff. Mind you, though, my sister called me 10 minutes before. She, like, pulled the emergency alarm, like, 10 minutes before. And then she called my mom. My mom was like, "She's probably asleep. Like, leave her alone. She's probably asleep." But that was not really good enough for my sister. Because, like, in all fairness, though, like, this is very similar to how my sister's best friend died. Because her best friend was sick, went to the ER, went home, and then nobody heard from her for a while. And they couldn't get in touch with her. And then come to find out, she died. So it was very triggering for my sister, which I understand and is fair. And one of my friends, she was telling me, she was like, "Girl, I woke up, I see this group text. It says Divine's friends." And it starts off with, like, "As you know, Divine went to the ER last night." She was like, "I thought you died." She was like, "I immediately started screaming." And she was like, "And then I read the rest," and I was like, "Oh, no, I'm going over there." And, like, just that, it's like, wow, thank you. Like, thank you for caring about my safety. Because, like, I can't say I'm confident that a lot of people would, you know, give a fuck in that manner. Like, some people literally like, oh, she's sleeping, it's fine, which is what my mom was doing. But my mom knew that I was sleeping because my mom talked to me at 2 a.m. So she was like, she was up at 2 a.m. She feels like shit. The girl is sleeping. Let her sleep. But I just, I don't know. I just, that just made me feel really full and, you know, good. And we've shown up for each other in so many different ways. And funny enough, one of us just made a TikTok and she said, I'm having trouble making friends in a new city. Join a graduate program and trauma bond. And it's like, oh yeah, no, yeah, definitely. Like, I listen to people talk about like how difficult their program is and how, you know, they are still friends with the people that they met the first day because they've relied on each other so much. And I'm like, yeah, no, I see it. I get it. I understand it. I peep it. I feel it. I see it. I see it all. I see it all. And if I didn't say, I am in a nursing program. I'm in a nursing program because it's just one step of like a longer path that I'm on. But I love entertainment. I love social media. I love all that stuff. But I need stability. I need stability. You have no idea how many of these influencers are dentists, okay, are doctors, and they just never talk about it, that they never mix those two aspects of their lives. I need stability. I need stability beyond needing stability. I need stability, okay? So it's something that I've needed, and I've always loved healthcare. I've always loved medicine, so I have no issues with the path that I'm on. And I think it's so funny because I was actually thinking about this yesterday, how during COVID, I applied for grad school. I applied for like multiple writing programs and at all different types of schools. And I was like, you know, I'm not confident I'm going to get in just because I don't really know. Well, this is me looking at hindsight, but I just didn't know like if that was the path I was supposed to go down on. That doesn't mean, however, that I don't think I'm going to write and publish books. Like, no, I still think I'm going to write and publish books, but did I need to go and have an education in it? I don't think so. That's not me saying I'm good enough, I don't need an education, no. But it's me saying, would it be worth it to take out $100,000 worth of loans? No. Okay. So, sorry if you can hear that happening outside. I don't know what they're doing. But I applied for like multiple programs. I didn't get into a single one. Okay. I applied to the top nursing program in the fucking country. She got in. No wait list. No stipulations. She got in. This diva got in. Okay. So, you know, I'm happy with where I am. I'm happy with what I'm doing. I'm proud of myself. I am slowly filling up my cup again, one drop of water at a time. Recently, what I've been doing to fill up my cup, I've been crafting a lot. So I've been painting. I've been, you know, sewing. I made like this, I have these two orange, like ottomans, I guess. But they're kind of like a sectional portion of like a modular couch. And they needed pillows. They needed pillows. So I went and I made some pillows for them. And I really enjoyed that. And I really did enjoy that. So I'm like starting to just get back in touch with myself. And like, oh, also the other thing is like, I changed my medication, which my depression medication, I was on Prestique, which was the wrong prescription for me that I've been on for like 2 fucking years. And honestly, I think me going to school and like just having to deal with all of these pressures and like just being stressed out all the time really showed how little this fucking thing was doing. So they adjusted my medication. And one of the things that I've noticed is like how time moves differently for me. Like, time blindness is really actually scary because like I would go through time and like I was present, but it's like half of a blackout. Like half of like, it's like that information that happens within that time just goes into the random access memory. Like, it's just thrown out. Like, it's just, it's not available like to really reach. Like, okay, like a good example would be like, I'd be like, okay, I have 10 minutes to leave the house. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to get my coffee, going to go pee, going to grab some water, leave the house. By the time I do all of those things, 15 minutes has passed. And I'm like, what was I doing for that time? Like, was I just standing there? Like, what is going on? Like, what am I doing? Like, where is this time going? Like, it's almost like time loss, which is like, sounds scary. So I had told my psychiatrist that, and I was like, I don't think like I have like a schizo disorder. And she was like, no, she was like, anxiety will do that. She was like, anxiety and like panic and depression will just remove the time from you. Like you will, it will happen. And I'm like, okay, like, don't know if I believe her and all that. So I get up, put on this new medication. A week in, same scenario. I am like, okay, I have 2 minutes. I have 2 minutes to leave the house. I need to grab my water, grab my coffee, put my shoes on, leave the house. I'm like, okay, got it. I do all of those things. And I'm about to look at the time and I'm like, oh my God. I wonder how much time has passed. It's probably been like 15 fucking minutes. Because I'm so used to the time loss. I look at the time and I have a minute left. And I'm like, oh wow. Like, this is what time is supposed to feel like. This is how time works. Like, I feel 260 seconds. I feel 120 seconds. I feel 5 minutes. I feel an hour. Like, that has just been such a, oh, the sun is out. All right, girl. That has just been such a refreshing new thing that's going on. And like, there's so much other stuff happening, but I think that's the thing I'm most excited about because I have had a time management issue for a long time, And I'm just happy that like now I realize that the problem like can be fixed. Does that make sense? I don't know. But anyways, so this is the first episode in a long time. And if you listen to the whole thing, I thank you. I love you. And I hope to talk to you soon again. Bye.
Free audio post-production by Alphonic.com.